Chapter 12. Bonnie walked down the hallway, his feet squeaking on the polished floors. As he passed each doorway, he couldn't help but steal a glance at the ward inside. They seemed to be large rooms, four beds each, separated by curtains. They were occupied mostly by older people, who looked back at him with vacant expressions of medication, boredom, or both. Occasionally, someone sat in a visitor's chair by a bed, more often than not in silence. Just sitting there, searching for something to say. Bonnie didn't like hospitals. He didn't see how anyone could. He took a left, following the signs for the Block C rooms. In this corridor, there seemed to be a change in the atmosphere. Private rooms, less hustle and bustle. He caught the odd look through an open doorway. Still the same vacant expressions from those in the gowns, the same vain searching on the faces of the visitors. Money didn't buy you an answer, just a nicer room in which to avoid the question. C-43. Bonnie stopped and looked through the small window in the door. The man he was expecting to see was sitting propped up in bed, facing a small TV and flicking through the channels. Bonnie knocked.
Come on in!
Bonnie pushed open the door.
Hello, Donal.
A quizzical look on the man's face gave way to a warm grin.
Jesus! Bonnie McGarry, is that you? It is, I'm afraid. Christ, as I live and breathe. Come on in, come on in.
He patted a chair beside his bed with one hand as the other silenced the TV. Bonnie made his way across to it. It had been maybe 7 years since he'd last seen Donal Carter, and, given his current location, it was unsurprising that the time hadn't been good to him. His complexion now had a jaundiced tinge to it, and his lips looked an unnatural shade of off-white. Bonnie didn't know the exact details, other than it was a kidney thing, and it was bad. Donal had always been a vibrant man, bursting with barely contained energy. The body may have weakened, but the same dancing vivacity could be seen in his pale green eyes. They shook. An IV drip feed stuck into the back of Donal's hand. If you could judge the seriousness of someone's state by the amount of beeping technology behind them, Donal's prognosis was less than rosy.
How are you keeping? It must be, what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, about that, said Bunny, sitting down in the chair. If it's not a daft question, how are you?
Ah,
he said, indicating towards the machines.
The kidney thing was always coming, you know. It's a genetic thing, but sure, keeping on, can't complain. The staff are taking great care of me and... Sorry, where are my manners? Of course, you remember Emer.
Bunny turned, surprised to find they were not alone. In the corner behind the door sat a slight-framed woman with long blonde hair almost down to her waist, a thick textbook in her hands. She waved shyly and spoke a greeting in a voice too soft to hear.
I do, of course. Sorry, Emer, I didn't see you there. My God, you grew up to be a fine girl.
Donal beamed pride.
She did indeed. Studying computer sciences now in DCU. Forced one in the family to go to university.
Isn't that great? Well done to you, said Bunny.
He looked back at Donal.
To the both of you.
Emer spoke again, and Bunny strained to hear. There was a thanks in there, but it was directed towards the floor. She played with her hair nervously as she spoke. Donal patted Bunny's hand.
Sure, if it hadn't been for you.
To his alarm, Bunny noticed Donal's eyes well up slightly.
Don't start that. Long time ago now. Still?
Bunny shifted nervously.
I was going to get you something, but I wasn't sure if you were allowed chocolate or...
Don't be worrying about that stuff. Tell you the truth, if we never see another grape, it'll be too soon.
Bunny smiled back.
Back in the day, we only ever split a bottle of whiskey around your kitchen table, but I figured that was inappropriate.
Maybe, but it's not the worst idea. Laura Cole from over the road brought in holiday brochures last week. Reckoned it'd be nice to dream about a trip abroad. We've only left the country once, and that was to go see Man United play, and they lost.
Bunny shook his head.
Well, if you will insist on following these foreign sports.
Don't start all that again. You still doing your missionary work? Trying to convert us heathen dubs to the gospel of the GAA?
I am, said Bunny. Even got my own junior hurling club.
I heard about that. Fair play to you.
There was a pause in the conversation. Both men looked nervously around the room.
Fair play,
Donal repeated. He glanced over at Emer sitting in the corner.
Emer, love, would you mind going and getting me one of those bottles of Lucozade from downstairs, please?
He looked across at Bunny.
Would you like anything?
I'm grand, thanks.
Grand?
Emer stood, and as she did so, Bunny noticed that under her baggy cardigan, she looked unhealthily thin. She hugged it closed around her, smiled shyly, and with a mumble, she was gone.
She's a great girl, said Bunny.
Yeah,
replied Donal, pride in his voice.
I did something right there.
You did? Not easy raising two kids on your own.
Back in the day, when they'd been good friends, Donal had once opened up to Bunny about losing Emer's mother. She'd died in childbirth. They'd warned her of the risk, but she refused to hear of any other options. In a graveyard out in Glasnevin, his wife and the baby she'd died trying to deliver lay side by side. Most men wouldn't have come back from that. Donal Carter wasn't most men, and not one cliché of the single-parent father applied to him.
Yeah, great girl, repeated Donal.
And then another lengthy pause hung over the room, as both men looked at each other.
So, I take it this isn't a social call?
Bunny lowered his head.
I'm afraid not. I wanted to talk to you up front about...
Tommy.
Yeah.
Donal nodded.
You know what he...
Donal shifted around in the bed nervously.
I'm not going to say.
Oh, no, said Bunny. I'm not asking you to. I'm not officially here or anything, but...
Bunny looked back into Donal's eyes.
You know who he is.
I know he takes good care of his whole community, and me.
Donal waved his hand around.
A bus driver's pension doesn't get you a private room, believe you me. Mrs. Granger from over the road is in one down the hall there too. No widow is going to afford that on her own.
All right, but Donal, you know how he's paying for it?
He runs a launderette, and he has shares in a few businesses.
It was clear Donal didn't believe it, even as he said it, for all the defiance in his voice. The awkward silence descended again. Bunny looked around and saw a Sunday paper sitting at the bottom of the bed. He picked it up and pointed at the picture on the front page.
See this? Someone robbed an armoured car on the quays.
I did, said Donal. A bank lost some money. No harm in that.
Yeah, regular Robin Hood stuff. Only men with guns running about. Eventually people get hurt. Innocent people.
Donal bristled.
Really? I'd not read of any casualties.
One of the Gardaí in the support vehicle had a minor heart problem, not helped by a grenade being stuck on his windscreen. I believe he's on a ward somewhere around here.
Stressful job.
And these raiders threatened the kid of one of the van's guards. Just a working Joe from Renilla, looking out a window at a gun and a picture of his little girl.
Donal said nothing, just looked away.
And as great as this Robin Hood image is, that's all it is. It's men with guns taking what they want. And that's saying that stealing is all they're doing.
Bunny looked at Donal. He watched for some flicker of recognition, but there was none there. Bunny would bet his life that Tommy's expansion into drugs would come as a horrible surprise to his father. He felt guiltily relieved that the need to keep the information secret meant that he didn't have to be the one to tell him. It'd no doubt break his heart.
I don't know anything about that, said Donal. My son doesn't discuss his business with me.
Alarm spread across his face before he pointed back at the paper.
Not that I'm saying this is his business.
Bunny put the newspaper down.
Donal, we go back a long way.
That's true. You know I'm grateful because...
Let's forget about...
No,
interrupted Donal.
You broke down a door and ran through a fire when those bastards tried to burn my children in their beds. We'll never forget that. It's thanks to you I have a family. You're a hero.
Bunny sighed.
I'm really not, Donal. It's my job. And if I have to take somebody down and throw them in prison for a long time, that'll just be my job too.
He stood up.
I just wanted to say that, because we go back a long way.
They exchanged a sad smile.
I'll leave you be. Best of luck with all the...
Bunny looked at the machines again and couldn't find the words. He gave a nod and headed towards the door.
Bunny!
He looked back at the frail figure in the bed.
He's not the man you think he is.
Bunny opened the door.
I could say the same,